If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
And now, ready to yammer on one of our favorite turkeys, Cody Tapp.
Right you are, Curtis. Right you are. Cody Tapp in the program, in for Sorin the rest of the week. By the way, speaking of sides, did you see 538's poll of the most heavily eaten side by region? I am embarrassed for ours.
Really? What is
it? Well, it's not as bad as the West Coast, which is salad, which is just comically bad, right? California, Nevada. Like, their region is salad. We eat salad the most at Thanksgiving. Do you hate yourself? It's Thanksgiving. Ours, however,
I had too much salad.
The Middle South, like Midwest South, is cornbread. Cool, got it. Like, Southeast is mac and cheese. There's rolls and biscuits. There's squash up in the Northeastern region, which I have questions about. Ours is a side dish I don't personally like, which is green bean casserole. I think it's garbage food. It's garbage food, and I really said it. I'm coming out strong against green bean casserole, and I don't care what anybody else thinks.
Sometimes you got to take a stand, man.
Does anyone like green bean casserole?
I do. I don't.
That is not a ringing endorsement for it. That's fine.
I don't like it as much as I like the individual parts of it on their own. It's okay. It's
yes,
good.
I like bacon. I like green beans. I like fried onions. I just don't want them together in some soupy, gross mess.
Yeah, I'm not the biggest fan.
Rob, where do you stand? Let your voice be heard.
I'm with you. Garbage food.
I'm glad we could agree on this on the show. Curtis is weak on it, at least. He's at the very least would choose 10, 12 sides above it.
Oh, yes.
Like, in the power rankings, their RPI, green bean casserole's RPI, is low. Right?
Yes.
In the Thanksgiving food pantheon?
Absolutely. Okay. And I mean, a lot of people are not big fans of the cranberry stuff. I mean, the cranberry sauce out of the can is dreadful.
Ugh.
For the most part. If someone actually takes the time to use real cranberries and make, like, a little cranberry, that's actually quite good. There's a huge difference in the preparation of the cranberries, but for the most part.
You know what the hottest Thanksgiving food take there is? I got it for you.
Oh, boy. Here comes.
Oh, gosh.
Turkey's trash. Eat ham.
What?
Boom. Nah,
ham's Christmas.
I'll be done for the day.
Ham is Christmas, Rob.
I don't care. What eat it both.
I also don't
eat
get
the
people
better food whenever possible.
Well, then you might as well eat steak.
Steak for Christmas, steak for Thanksgiving.
Our Thanksgiving steak. Filet mignon. Ribeye. A little ribeye from Hen House for Thanksgiving.
Smart. Yeah. Joe's burnt-in barbecue Thanksgiving dinner. My burnt-in Christmas sandwich. That's the one. That's right in the wheelhouse.
I liked it.
I would eat that. I mean, to be clear, and all joking aside, I would eat a Christmas Joe's burnt-in sandwich. So
what I don't get is people who have turkey on Thanksgiving and Christmas. And
yeah, we were turkey and ham.
Yeah.
That was the setup.
That was what you did.
Sticking with
my brother, who has all sorts of flaws, has done one thing great for our Thanksgiving. Mm. He has introduced ham. He buys himself a small little baby ham, brings to Thanksgiving, so I don't have to eat turkey.
You just eat some of his ham?
I go ham, yeah.
Man, look at Rob. He's eliminated turkey from his own Thanksgiving.
You know why? I don't want to be sleepy that night.
Yeah, there's no tryptophan in ham.
Boom. Also, Rob, I think ham's better tasting than turkey.
Rob is not a tryptophan of turkey.
Hello.
Oh.
Why you be tryptophaning?
All right.
I think I've taken this too far.
Strong.
Now that everyone's turned the channel, let's talk a little Mizzou basketball.
Strong start. We're going to hear from Adam Schiffer of the Kansas City Star. Alex Schiffer of the Kansas City Star. How about I get his name right?
Schiffer is a congressman.
Well, I was just reading the Adam Schefter, who had John Dorsey on his show. So we'll hear some cuts from that a little bit later. But Alex Schiffer will join us in a minute. But there was a little more news, Curtis. Like, in the show yesterday, we started, like, right when Mick came in, about 10 minutes into that 1 o'clock hour, the news started to break. Michael Porter Jr. was going to be done for the year because of the back surgery.
Yep.
There are more details now, not a ton, but still some more things to consider. And the one that stands out as being the most important is what seems to be at least a disagreement on the side of Missouri and Michael Porter Jr. about what treatment was necessary to get him in the season. From the report, at least Dave Matters reporting and some others, Missouri thought that through treatment they could serve his back injury and he could be back on the court. They got a second opinion. That second opinion suggested surgery. They have now switched their plan and decided to get surgery, right? Like, so that's it. He had a chance. They got a second opinion. He's had the surgery, had it last night, right, and thanked his fans. Is it a bad look that Missouri did it? Because, like, when I watch it or when I see a play out, I think it makes sense on both sides. I think Missouri, their job is to make sure that the player's healthy. They don't want to burn a top five prospect. They want to make sure that they're covering their bases, and they want him on the court. And back injuries can be protected and can be taken care of in a manner that is non-surgical. Back surgery is a very serious thing. There's a lot of other treatment for the nerve pain, for the type of disc stuff, including massage and treatment that he could get, that could help that problem. But if you're Michael Porter Jr., having the surgery now puts you in place so that that you're healed and right and in a good place before you have to get looked at by NBA scouts. Like, I get why Missouri wanted him on the court, but I understand why Michael Porter Jr. had the surgery. And I don't think anybody should blame him for having the surgery.
No.
Because, one, deciding to have back surgery at 18 is a very serious decision. I don't think you come upon it lightly, right?
No.
I assume you would prefer not to have back surgery at 18 years old when you're going to be a professional basketball player. So when I watch, you know, like when I see that they have disagreements, I actually kind of understand both sides. And I don't think Missouri should be mad at Michael Porter Jr. for having the surgery. And I don't think Michael Porter Jr. should be mad at their doctors for suggesting it could be treated non-surgically. I think it kind of makes sense on both ends.
Yeah. And I have a friend who I have debated with about the ability of a school like Missouri to pull, and this is actually, we began with this discussion of Porter and why he might want to come to Missouri. He could be the big man on campus, could salvage the program. And my thought was at the time, guys who are that good, who are going to be lottery picks, that isn't why they go to college. They go to college is because they have to go to college to get to the NBA.
And, because they're not afforded the rights to just go to the NBA.
Yeah, his first commitment, he may love mighty Mizzou, but Michael Porter Jr.'s first commitment is to his future. And his future is best if he's healthy when the NBA draft comes around. That's not to say he wasn't a Mizzou guy. Or wasn't, you know, didn't bleed black and gold when he's there, wasn't going to play hard.
It doesn't mean he's not going to be a good ambassador for moving forward.
His number one priority was his future. And so I don't think it would at all be a mark against him to want to get this done now, and it cost him a season. And if he hadn't gotten gone through treatment and not gotten the surgery, something tells me at some point
it
would have broken down eventually. The idea that he was going to somehow play without surgery, just go through treatment and play a decent chunk of the season, to me is, I don't say laughable, but it's highly unlikely.
Or at the very least, he's just putting it into the future.
So.
Like, and what if it flares up at the wrong time, right? Maybe he does go, because like those pinched nerves are weird. You and I, it was funny because like we were talking about it with Doug Gottlieb, and you suggested the idea that it could be a nerve thing, and then
I'd seen a couple of things on Twitter.
Yeah.
People had mentioned herniated disc, and clearly, I thought, yeah, right, whatever. Then we began hearing more of them as the day went on yesterday.
But when you hear about that, the reason why, like, maybe he would have been okay with treatment is because it's weird. Like, you can get in line for a minute where the nerve isn't getting pinched, and it's not sending those pain signals down to your hip or your knee. And it's not, because it's not usually the back that hurts in those situations. It's everything that's connected to that nerve, right? It's the leg.
Which is why it was the hip and the leg, and they couldn't figure out what
it was.
And it was
a moving target, and I guess we should have put it together that it was a back problem from there. But when you were, like, when you hear that, like, there could have been some time when he got some treatment. And clearly, like, when you follow the timeline in this thing, they talk about that the back injury was, like, taking place much earlier, and then he was okay, and doing 360 dunks in practice, and was obviously feeling pretty good. And whatever re-aggravation of this injury, maybe that was the sign that told him, uh-oh. Like, right? Like, I can get it right for a couple of weeks, but then it flares back up, and then uh-oh again. And if it flares back up the entire year, I'm going to go an entire college basketball season, missing a month, playing a month, missing a month, playing a month, and then try to enter the NBA draft not healthy. And they're going to do tests on my back and find out that it's not healthy, and that's going to really cost me, versus just getting the problem fixed people will use the information they had at the disposal, the previous play for me, including some of those All-Star games, or hell, they might even look at the Missouri-Kansas tape, right?
Yeah.
And find out what kind of player I am, and that's better for me because everything I read still, Rob, I mean, I'm sure you've gone through Draft Express and all, like, I look, like, the people that really know the draft do not seem to think that this is dropping him outside. Like, you and I said, I think still he's, like, top five. Like, most people think that's probably still where he lands. We've seen players get hurt. It doesn't tend to persuade them the other way. So I think that, like, I a re-aggravation would scare me. Like, if I were him and I had back trouble and then it was fixed and I was feeling good and I was playing and nothing was wrong and then all of a sudden it was back again and now instead of my hip, it was my knee and then it turns out it's all related to my back, I think I'd have some pretty serious concerns.
And this conversation is the quintessential problem with the one and done. It's the fact that I agree with you when you say I don't think either side's at fault. Missouri for thinking he's healthy enough to play, and Michael Porter Jr. for seeking a second opinion for what the problem is, because he's got to worry about his future. Missouri has to worry about winning games now. And this is the one-and-done dilemma, because Missouri does need to win games now. That's Konzo Martin's job, and Michael Porter Jr. knows that his job one day is going to be professional basketball player. So I don't think you can villainize either side.
I really
don't.
You.
Because if you want to villainize someone, villainize the NBA for having a one-and-done rule. If we eliminate this, unfortunately for Mizzou, Michael Porter never goes there.
Yeah, and Tillman doesn't. Like, the one-and-done rule still helped Missouri in this case.
True.
They got Michael Porter Jr. in a lot.
Michael Porter Jr. became a recruiter, essentially, once he committed and got Jonte and da-da-da. But this problem isn't new. No, ask Nerlens Noel about getting hurt in college and it affecting his draft status.
Yeah, I know, and you know, Joel Embiid, which is the back issue that rings close to home for Kansas.
Well,
fans.
The Sixers then redshirted him for a season, so they knew what they were getting into.
Yes, yeah. but teams will do that. Like, but so that's the argument on the other side, I guess, of Porter. It's like, teams would overlook your back injury. Like, if you could have gotten back on the court this year and they said, I'm going to have back surgery, I'm going to miss the first half of the season, they'd be like, that's fine. Like, we know, we're picking top five in the draft. We're not fixing it right now. I guess unless you're the Celtics, who will pick top five again and have the best record in the Eastern Conference right now. Unless you're the Celtics and compiled 6 billion draft picks, every other team picking in the lottery, hypothetically, would have very serious flaws and will take the chance at a highly thought-of prospect over anything else. Truthfully, and I think it's very rare that, like, both sides are probably in the right, but I don't look at this as, like, a divisive line in the sand between Missouri and Michael Porter. I think this is just evidence of how two different people in two different circumstances with two different goals would have two different plans of action. And both reasonable and fair and understanding and kind of make sense, right?
Yeah.
But depending on where you are, those things are different, right?
Yeah.
That's all. Like, I just think it's, you know, I don't think you need to look at it as some like negative on either side of either Missouri or Porter. The end game is still the same. They're going to lose Michael Porter for the rest of the season, and they're going to have to find out. Like, now you're really interested to watch them play with that news and see what they can be. Because I still hear, you know, like I heard Jarrett Sutton on the Border Patrol this morning saying that he doesn't think it should change their expectations a ton. Some, yes, but he doesn't think that it, like,
I just think so much of what they were going to be, particularly
was
offensively,
through him.
Was because he can do everything. I just don't see you just don't drop a 6'10 guy who can run the ball, who can run the floor,
pass ball, rebound,
shoot, dribble, hit and shoot from three. Just fill the stat sheet that guy just disappears from your lineup and you just march on. I mean, it's there are guys, I don't think they're going to fall off the face of the earth, but I think the chances they had of reaching the summit dropped by about 70% when that news came out yesterday. They can still be a good team. They can still be a tournament team. But any thought I think they had of
making a deep tournament run,
a serious impact in March, I think went bye-bye yesterday.
I think that's probably fair. I still think, but by the way, let's not dismiss.
Jarrett knows more about basketball than I'll ever know. And the fact that he says that is something that makes me, gives me pause to be a doomsayer. So that's somebody who's basketball knowledge I take very seriously.
And to be clear, Missouri, without Michael Porter going to the tournament, would be an impossibly big upswing from where they were, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Like, which was the worst Power 5 basketball program, is that
eight,
fair?
Eight conference wins in 3 years.
What do they have, 35, 36 consecutive road losses?
Yeah. Think about that. 8 conference wins in 3 years.
They play a lot of conference games, Curtis.
Yes, 54 of them, in fact.
Eight of 54. 46. Even baseball, that's not a good success rate.
And
baseball
road.
Is the lowest success rate that you can possibly justify being a good. That's a what's 8 of 54? What
and
percentage is that?
And they won their first one. That's what's funny. Of those 8, one of them was in their first conference game under Kim Anderson. They beat LSU.
14,
and then they won 7 and 46 the rest of the way.
14.8%.
Not good.
Of conference games they've won. Yeah. That's
and that's the kind of the thing. I mean, it's as much as people talk about the, well, it's been chronicled often, and usually it's chronicled by Missouri fans like myself as kind of a coping mechanism for when things go bad.
Yeah.
Everyone's kind of chronicled where this sits in the pantheon of Missouri disasters. But most of those disasters were games played by teams that really had nothing to gain. I mean, everyone talks about, well, the fifth down. Yeah, that team sucked. I mean, they weren't terrible, but that team wouldn't go anywhere. A win over Colorado in 90 doesn't really do them much.
No.
It's your one-day headline. The kickball, staying on football, the flea kicker. That team was decent, but they weren't going to win a national title. They weren't even going to challenge for a Big 12 championship. You win that game, it's a one-day headline. It's really cool. They beat number one team in the nation. Tyus Edney, they weren't winning the national championship that year. They were an 8 seed or a 9 seed. They were probably getting bounced the next round. I mean, at worst, they make it to the second. That didn't cost them anything. All the things that everyone piles up as these bad Missouri moments, had they been reversed, they didn't really gain anything. This was different.
This
and that's
was
why,
going to
me,
change.
It felt yeah. different to me yesterday as a Missouri fan my whole life. The I won't say whoa, but that it just feels different because this was the upside was there from this one. If this doesn't go wrong, you have all the promise in the world for this franchise or this program, and that's kind of been that's certainly been to me the ultimate. Promise has been removed. They can still be good, but that the thoughts of what they could be, this was the payback, supposedly the payback for all that other crap for the last 3 seasons. This was what was going to be the moment that kind of got us back to going the other direction, and 2 minutes in, it's gone. I don't think it's possible for fans of any other program to quite understand
sure.
what that means to people who love
cheer
the black
for them
and gold.
Yeah.
It's a program as fans. It was completely devastating yesterday, and I can. I mean, it surpasses any other event in that long list of Missouri misery.
By that criteria, would this be on par as far as the anguish list? I guess with the 15-2 loss.
Yeah, to me, that loss is much more damaging. Much
yeah,
more
because when you're a
2
seed in the NCAA tournament,
yeah,
that everything is possible.
Had the golden run, even the 19-point loss, blowing the 19-point lead at Kansas. So what? They would have won the last game down Fieldhouse. But they went on and won the Big 12 tournament, and they came out as a 2 seed, ready to make a nice run, and then they lose to a 15. That, to me, is easily the most damaging yeah. loss that I can think of
yep.
as far as like a collapse. I mean, you're losing the Big 12 championship game to Oklahoma in 07. Yeah, they would have played the national championship game if they won that. That was big. But they weren't really ever really in that game in the second half. Oklahoma was the better team that day, and they beat them pretty convincingly. The Elite Eight loss to UConn in 09. And that would have gone to they've lost some Elite Eight games. They could have gone to the Final Four. But those were that wasn't a game. That wasn't something that you expected to have happen and then was taken away.
Yeah.
This was expected and was taken away. And really, by no logical being, the guy just he gets hurt. It'd be one thing if he played and was just a middling player and was overrated, and Missouri didn't go to the final, the national or the tournament, and he was a 15-8 guy. That's one thing. We'll never know.
Now you're yeah.
We'll never ever know what.
Well,
it
imagine if this team does still get to the tournament, and I think Jarrett said he thinks they'll get in the play-in game. But say they get their 10 seed. And win a couple of games and, like, get to the round of 32. Or just say, yeah, win the play-in game and get to the round of 32. Then you're like, what would they have been with, I don't know, Michael Porter, their guy who was with supposed to be
20-10.
Like, could he have gotten them a few more wins? Yeah, maybe.
Or lose their close games with a 2 seed that maybe, let's just say Gonzaga. I don't know what Gonzaga is. You're like, small
yes.
conference, high seed. You're like, oh.
Like, lose a 2-point game.
Yeah.
And that's the team that goes on to, they lose to the 1 or a 2 seed that goes on to win the national championship. And you're like, you're just going to, like, it's going to be, and of course, by the way, you know, Like, it's like some part of mental anguish. It will be like right if like if Missouri does make the tournament, Curtis, it'll be right then that you'll start getting Michael Porter like working back into shape videos. Michael Porter getting back into shape, and you'll see him jogging. You're like, I don't need this right now. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. Alex Schiffer of the Kansas City Star, he covers the Missouri beat. We'll get his opinion on this very subject next year on the program.